Again, I'm so thankful for Brother and Sister Blue. I want him to take his liberty, them to take their liberty. And let's expect the Lord to continue his purposes in this service.
Well, everybody say praise the Lord. God's worthy of our praise this morning, isn't he? Amen. I'm certainly enjoying this liberty of the Holy Ghost we feel here today, worshiping the Lord and wonderful songs that have been sung. Anybody else feel the presence of the Lord here this morning? I'm sure that you do, because I've seen you worshiping the Lord and the tears and the shouts. And I tell you, how do you describe what it feels like to be saved? To know for beyond a doubt that you've been forgiven of all your sins. Your life has been changed. Oh, it makes me want to shout even now. Praise God. Glory. Well, and it's so good to see all of you. That makes me want to shout too. I just want to shout out, hello, glad to see you. It's hard to believe that it's been a year since Camp Dove last year, but here we are reuniting again for this great celebration of reaching out to children. And we tell everywhere we go that one of our favorite places on planet Earth is Camp Dove. It's a happy place, a beautiful place, and a special place where God touches children's lives. But we have seen over the years in those altar services that it wasn't just children seeking the Lord. We've seen adults get saved, teenagers get saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, and so we don't think of it as just a children's ministry, even though that's our target for the week, and we're looking forward to what he's going to do among the children. Let's be prayerful for every service, praise the Lord. Speaking of children, we just came from up north of here, Lorain, Ohio, up at Camp Blessing, and had a wonderful week there. We worked with the juniors this week, and Brother Brian and Sister Sarah worked with the seniors in the days. They did a fantastic job teaching and preaching to the teenagers during the day. I'll just tell you this, Sister Sarah and Brother Brian made your church proud. I think you would be very happy of the way that they represented you and represented the Lord. Did an outstanding job, and I appreciate their life, their ministry. We keep running into them around the country because of our connection with youth work, and I'm so glad to see what the Lord has done. Brother Ryan, congratulations on your new area of service. I think it's very fitting Wednesday night to have that time of commission out there at the camp. I mean, you know, that's just a very fitting place for that to happen. Praise the Lord. And I started to say about being at Lorain, Ohio. We pastored up there several years ago. And so it was quite a challenge to us, you know, to go back there after all of these years and try to remember everybody's names. You know, it's more than a challenge. It's torture when you get to a certain age. And so So Sister Blue and I, we kind of worked in tandem all week long. We'd see somebody come and she'd say, "That's Brother." "Oh, yeah." "Okay." And I'd say, "That's Sister." "Oh, yeah." All right. So we're, but the real challenge was the children that we remembered as children, they're not children anymore. They're teenagers or they're married and they have children of their own. And so that really threw us off. And I'm not sure what teenagers really think about this, but maybe it doesn't offend them so bad that people who haven't seen them in a while say, "My, how you've grown. Boy, you've got so tall." One boy that was a little boy last time we saw him, he's 6'8" now. You know, "My, how you've grown." Of course, to me, everybody's tall, but anyway, we adults now, we wouldn't like that so much. You know, people come up, "My, how you've grown." Take offense at that. But as a church, can I just say, "My, how you've grown." And that's a compliment. Praise the Lord. It's, you know, when you've been away from a place for a while and you come back, you know, you that live here every day may not see it, but we pull up and we see the changes, the external physical changes on the property, things you've done, you know, to, you know, beautify your church. And then we get up here and we see all kinds of new faces and feel the Spirit of God moving among you. And I just want to tell you, my, how you've grown. Praise the Lord. Why don't you give the Lord a hand clap for that? Amen. That He's blessing you. He's helping you. Praise the Lord. Yes, He is. Yes, He is. Amen. Praise God. Well, I'm sure that a lot has changed in your life since we've seen you last. We've added a new grandson to our tribe since we saw you last. Our son Brandon and his wife Trina gave us another little boy. He's about 8 months old now, I guess. So we've got three grandsons. So you've kind of been watching our family grow as we've come through the years. And we love these grandkids. Boy, aren't grandkids wonderful? Somebody said if we would have known how wonderful grandkids are, we would have had them first. But Taden is our oldest grandson. He's almost five. And a few months ago, he started going to preschool. And he came home from preschool one day, and Jessica, our daughter, his mom, just happened to notice that he was talking about left and right, left hand, right hand. And she was surprised that he had learned left from right. And so she double-checked. Taden, show me your left hand. He did. Show me your right hand. He did. Did I get that right? Yeah, okay. So she was pretty impressed. He was learning left from right. So Tim, his dad, gets home from work, and Jessica said, Tim, go in there and ask Taden about left and right. He's learned to tell the difference. So he said, same thing. Taden, show me your right hand. And he did. Show me your left hand. Show me your right foot, your left foot. He got it all right. And Tim said, that's great, son. I'm so proud of you. And all of a sudden, Taden said, oh, man. And Tim said, what is it? He said, man, I think I got my socks on the wrong feet. And, you know, not that it really matters with socks, shoes maybe, but socks. I want to tell you, I identify with that, Brother Brian. I feel just a little bit that way this morning. And, you know, not that it really matters, but there's just that sense of, you know, insecurity at a new place, and you haven't been here in a while. And this Sunday morning service is always a little bit of a challenge because we're transitioning now to kids camp. You know, tonight will be Camp Dove, kids camp, and we're the evangelists out there at the kids camp. And then, you know, we're not really here for revival, but I believe that this service is important. I believe that God wants to say something to us, and He wants to do something in this service. And so finding, you know, that will of God for this service, I just tell you, it's a bit of a challenge for me. But all night long through the night, I kept dreaming or subconsciously thinking about this service and what I would say. And this is what I really feel in my heart. It's not a kid's message. It's not a, we'll do that tonight. We'll be preaching illustrated sermons and all of that. But for this morning, let's read 2 Chronicles chapter number 17, if you would want to turn there and be getting ready to read, and pray that the Lord will have His way in this service. Praise God. We appreciate Brother and Sister Hurst and their hospitality to us. They welcomed us again last night with dinner, a Saturday night tradition. So we get in on Saturday night, have a time of fellowship with them, and really enjoy their friendship. Would you stand with me this morning? 2 Chronicles chapter number 17 starts out introducing us to a new king in Judah, the land of Judah. And Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his stead. That's Asa from the previous chapter. Asa has died now, and his son Jehoshaphat is taking the throne. And he strengthened himself against Israel, the northern kingdom. The kingdom of the Jews is divided at this time. Israel to the north, Judah to the south. And he placed forces in all of the fenced cities of Judah and set garrisons in the land of Judah and in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa his father had taken. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not unto Balaam, but sought to the Lord God of his father and walked in his commandments and not after the doings of Israel. Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents, and he had riches and honor in abundance, and his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places and the groves out of Judah. And everybody say amen. Amen. Praise God. This man has done good. He has done good. But I want you to turn now to chapter 19 and read with me in verse 1 and 2. Chapter 19, verse 1 and 2. And Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him. He's a prophet. Jehu's a prophet. And he said to King Jehoshaphat, "Shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord." Now that changes everything, doesn't it? Amen. Amen. I want to preach to you this morning on a good man and a bad mistake. A good man and a bad mistake. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your presence. We thank you for your spirit moving among us. And every song that we have heard has been such a blessing to us. And we worship you this morning, Lord. We give you honor and praise. We thank you for this word that we have read today. We pray that your will would be done, that you would speak to us today. In Jesus' name, we'll give you the glory and the praise and the honor. Amen. And everybody say amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. Let's fess up this morning. I want you to just raise your hand. And I want you to tell me where you stand on this. How many of you feel like at some time in your life you've made a mistake? All right, several of you. Thank you, ladies, because even though I titled my message "A Good Man and a Bad Mistake," we could easily say "A Good Woman, Bad Mistake." A good young person who made a bad mistake. So this is not gender specific this morning. But I'm going to be talking to you about Jehoshaphat in just a minute. But we all know what it is to make a mistake. And we know that the fact is some mistakes are worse than other mistakes. I've made lots of mistakes. Some of them are just, mistakes in the way that I do things. And just it turns out to be a big mess. I just messed it all up. And sometimes I have persuaded myself that I'm a carpenter, and boy, do I make some big mistakes. Sometimes I think of myself as a fix-it man, and boy, do I mess things all up. But I've got to say, I take great comfort in knowing my father-in-law, because my father-in-law, he's one of those that he always is trying to fix something and is always tearing it up. It gives me a great sense of peace being around him. He once decided he was going to fix a home movie projector. And as soon as he took the side off of it, all these parts just started falling out in his hands, you know. And he thought he could fix it. But when he took it to the shop to have it fixed, the man said, "I could have fixed it if you would have brought it to me before you opened it." Amen. My father-in-law, he's the type of guy that says, "I'm going to change out the doorknob, and you cut first and measure later." That's not the way to do it, right? But he's made some mistakes that way. I love him. How many of you have ever made a mistake like that? Right now, think of some mistake that you made that was a bad mistake. Any men? Can you think of one right now? How about you all up here? Can you think of something that you've done that you really, boy, I messed it up? Brother Hurst, can you think of something? too many of them. All right. Well, some mistakes are worse than others. You can go out and, you know, replace the door. You can hire a carpenter to fix up that thing that you mismeasured. And really, in the great scheme of life, it doesn't matter if we have our socks on the wrong feet, does it? Come on now. Amen. But then there are mistakes that do matter. Choices that are critically important. We've got to be careful about the choices that we make in life. Amen. This is a story that is an excellent example of why it is important for us to be alert and to be aware and to be conscious of what's happening around us. And, amen, to be sober about important decisions in our life. Be sober. Now, there's a word that we get confused about. I had a neighbor when we lived in Illinois, a neighbor when we first moved there and I first met him. I said, you know, kind of across the fence type conversations, except we had an alley that divided us. And so it was kind of an across the alley conversation. I said, "How you doing today?" He said, "I'm sober." That's how he answered me. Okay, there's a story there. Maybe someday I'll find out. Another time I met him, I said, "How you doing today?" "I'm sober." You have anybody that answers you that way? No, not too many. Well, one day he said that to me, and I walked over to him, and I said, I notice you have a very unique answer whenever I ask you how you're doing. He said, I answer everybody that way. So what's the story there? He said, "Well, I've never drank in my life, so I'm not an alcoholic or recovering alcoholic. It has nothing to do with that." I said, "So what do you mean when you say I'm sober?" He said, "Here a while back, my preacher preached on that word sober. And he said it made such a difference in my life that I've decided that it's a good conversation starter, just like here." You know, a lot of times when I say I'm sober, people ask, "What do you mean? And are you a recovering alcoholic?" And he says, "Oh, no." And he gets to explain to them that my preacher says that it's very important to be awake and alive and alert and conscious of what's going on around about you. Brothers, can I tell you, amen, we need to be sober this morning. Amen. That doesn't mean somber. That doesn't mean that you quit smiling and you look at everything with suspicion. That's not what I'm talking about. But it does mean that we have an adversary, the devil, that goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You cannot afford to think that just because you're a good man that everything is always going to go good, that everything will always go right. Here's a good man. Jehoshaphat was a good man. I read to you this morning some of the qualities of his relationship with God. The Bible tells us in verse 3 that he walked in the ways of David, his father. He respected his heritage, his upbringing, and the traditions of a family of God. He walked in those ways. Verse 4 says he sought the Lord. He prayed. He believed in God. He sought after God. That's a wonderful thing. Wouldn't you say that he's a good man seeking after the Lord? He sought the Lord. It also says here that he obeyed God's commandments. He obeyed his commandments. This man has a heart for the word of God and the commandments of the Lord. He memorized them, he knows them, and he lives them. This man loves God. He prays and he obeys God's commandments. And we would say he separated himself from the world. He's got to a certain degree the qualifications of what we would call the sanctified life. This man, according to the scripture here in verse 3 and 4, that he sought not unto Balaam, which was one of the famous idols of that day. But he sought to the Lord and not after the doings of Israel. Israel, the northern kingdom that was completely backslidden, worshiping idols, serving their sensuous sins. He did not seek after those ways. He was separate from those things. This, my friend, is a good man. He is a good man. I appreciate this testimony that he has. not only his relationship with God that is revealed to us here, but the revival that he brought among his people. He brought a revival. He built up the standards against Israel, the fences. In other words, he drew lines and he said, we are not, amen, going to just blend in with everybody. And so he fortified their country against the influences of the northern country. That was a national decision that he made. He also tore down the idols that had started creeping up in his land. In verse 6, tore down those idols. The Bible says that he also sent out teachers. I love this. Verse number 7, we didn't read it, but let me read it to you now. Also in the third year of his reign, he sent to his princes, even to, and I won't read all those names, but it says, to teach in the cities of Judah. And with them he sent Levites, and a bunch of names there. Verse 9, and they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them and went about throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people. Jehoshaphat sent out teachers and sent out the Levites and said, let's influence the children. Let's influence, amen, our young people. Let's teach them in the ways of God. Let's instruct them in the Bible, instruct them in the laws of God. And he sent out, amen, he commissioned them to go and spread the word of God throughout their country. He was a good man. It brought revival to his country, brought revival to the land. Amen. God knows here in America, we certainly need a revival. Amen. We certainly need to raise up teachers who will teach the ways of God. We certainly need the Levites, the preachers, to go spreading the word of God. Oh, God, grant America revival again. We desperately need a return to God and to his commandments and to his ways. Amen. I take hope when I read things like this and to know, amen, could it be if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, that God would hear from heaven and heal our land? Hallelujah. Revive us, O Lord. Amen. They had revival. Notice his relationship, his revival, and his reward. God, amen, did not allow Jehoshaphat's goodness to go unnoticed. God blessed Jehoshaphat. Amen. The Bible says in verse 5, God established his kingdom. God did that for him. God prospered him. Verse 5, chapter 18, verse number 1. Amen. Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance. Amen. Riches were equated with the blessings of God in those days. But I want you to notice here, it wasn't just the riches. It was the respect, the honor that he had. God did that for him. And God protected him in verse number 10. And after the fear of the Lord fell upon the kingdoms of the lands, amen, they were round about Judah so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat. God protected him. It was the blessings of God. I don't think you can read those scriptures and think about the things that I've just said to you and not agree with me that Jehoshaphat was a good man. Amen. But he made a bad mistake. He made a terrible mistake. I don't know why it is that God has laid this on my heart to preach to you on this Sunday morning. I haven't been in this church since this time last year. Amen. Maybe that's at a time like this, maybe that's a blessing, because I don't know what you've been doing or what you are doing. I certainly don't know the thoughts that are in your mind or what you're contemplating right now. I certainly don't know that. But I can tell you this morning that I feel like the Spirit of God has laid this message on my heart to tell you that even good men make bad mistakes. Amen. And there are some mistakes, brother, you cannot afford to make. Amen. It's critical, it's crucial that you learn the lessons that the Bible records for us so that we might try to avoid making these kinds of mistakes. Jehoshaphat made a terrible mistake. Amen. It's concerning his relationship with the king of Israel. Amen. Over the period of time, I don't know exactly the process that happened, but something happens that there's a little communication that starts between the king of Judah, Jehoshaphat, our good man, and the king of Israel, Ahab. You remember him. His wife was Jezebel. Ahab and Jezebel, the most wicked king and queen that ever lived, amen, in ancient Israel history. And communication starts between that good king and that wicked king, Ahab. Amen. I outline what happens next in three words. And I think that they're applicable in just about every great mistake that men make and women make and young people make. It starts with assumption. Assumption. We just assume things. We take it for granted. Amen. The assumption part of this process is when we start letting our guard down. Amen. I think the assumption here is, well, maybe Ahab is not as bad as what everybody has said. I mean, he's been friendly to me. I mean, he talks to me every time we get together. He shakes my hand. He seems to be a nice guy. I don't know why everybody talks like he's such a wicked guy. He sent me gifts, sent gifts to me. And I tell you, assuming can get us into a lot of trouble. Some time ago, forgive me if I've told you this story before, but I tell it on myself because it makes me feel really humble. Amen. Some time ago, we drove in from church. It was pouring down rain, and I let LaDon out on the front of the house because there's a porch that comes out, a stoop that covers, and she could get her umbrella and come up underneath and get the keys out and everything. On the back part of the house where we park, there is no porch cover. So I'm going to pull around, and she's going to go through and unlock the door for me. Well, as I'm pulling around, I get a phone call from my brother-in-law. So I've got my cell phone, pouring down rain. I pull in a parking spot. The vertical blinds come open on that patio door, and there's the glass patio door, and I see the lights come on, and I see LaDonna reach, and I saw her unlock the door. And so I reach for my Bible. I've got my Bible under my arm. I got my cell phone to my ear and my keys in my hand, and I jump out of the door and start running towards the house, assuming that she had opened the door. Men, it's pouring down rain. Your wife's in the dry house. She just unlocked the door. Don't you assume she's going to open the door for you? I'm on the phone. Hey, man, I run towards the door. Whack! Oh, man. Nose first into the glass patio door. I mean, no warning. I just thought it was open. That's all there was to it. And Brother Hurst, the worst thing about the whole deal is I was on the phone with my brother-in-law when it happened. He heard the whole thing, heard the whole collision. And then I had to say, Alan, I got to let you go. I just busted my nose. Humbling. All I'm trying to say is assumptions can get you hurt. Assumption is a dangerous thing, really. Don't assume that just because you go to church, because you have had a good prayer life in the past, and because you live a pretty good life, that somehow or another, amen, you can't ever fall into a trap. You can't ever be tricked. That's a terrible assumption, brother. I already told you the devil is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for that opportunity, just like here. Amen. There's this assumption, and then there's an association. This friendship begins to build. This relationship begins to build between Jehoshaphat and Ahab. In chapter 18, in verse number 1, I read to you about Jehoshaphat's riches and honor and abundance. And then this sentence, and joined affinity with Ahab. He begins to associate this affinity with Ahab. Now he begins this association here. Ahab was an idolater. Ahab was greedy. Ahab was a murderer. Ahab was a hypocrite. Ahab was a wicked man. Can two walk together except they be agreed? How can this good man associate with such a bad man? Amen. Without some compromises going on in his own life. My friend, I want to warn you about your associations. It does matter. It does matter. This, amen, as Pentecostal people, we kind of get troubled with this because, amen, when we talk about associations, we're not talking about that we can't feel for or speak to people that are not saved. We need to love people that are not saved, and we need to reach out to those that are unsaved. Amen. That means that we've got to have conversations with them, and we have to have some sort of relationship with them. We can't just cut off, amen, our sons and daughters that aren't saved or our loved ones that aren't serving the Lord. That's not what I mean here. But when I talk about our associations, amen, I think you know what I mean. If we're not careful, we can have so tight and so close and so much of an association with the world that it begins to rub off on us. We've got to guard our associations. Amen. Praise God. I know that it's possible that that if we're not careful, that the devil will get us all tangled up in relationships that are not God's will. And young people struggle with this, especially relationships. We begin to associate with people, amen, that can only bring us down. But the Bible says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Got to be careful of our associations. Ephesians 5 and 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Amen. He began to associate with Ahab. And then that association went to the next level, and it became an alliance, an agreement. Ahab says, I'm getting ready to go to war. I need your help. Would you come and help me? Would you commit your armies to come and help me? And Jehoshaphat says, oh yeah, sure. Let me be as thine and my armies be as your armies. We will come and help you. And he makes this alliance with Ahab to fight for, amen, and to fight with the enemies that God may even be using to discipline and reprove and rebuke that wicked king. And now he's going to ally himself and fight against. He's on the wrong side. Amen. Terrible mistake. Amen. Jehoshaphat was deeply committed to God, but he made a bad mistake in this one, friend. But he's not the only one that has made mistakes like this. I can tell you the reports of dozens of good men. Maybe if I sat down and thought real hard, it might add up into hundreds of good men that I have seen over the years make horrible mistakes. A man that I pastored, a young man that loved God, amen, loved the Lord, called to preach, and had good intentions when he said, brother, we're moving. We're leaving. We want to move to another area so we can be used more and expand our ministry. Amen. I'm not speaking this morning of Brother Ryan. Amen. We're following God's calling, and I don't want anybody's mind to be running that direction. But here's a young man that went in a completely different direction. Amen. He didn't go and serve the Lord. He went and got his family completely out of church while he got a transfer to a job making a lot of money. Amen. The heart of the matter wasn't his ministry. The heart of the matter was the money. Amen. We didn't know it then, but it sure came to prove itself that he made a bad mistake then. He wasn't pursuing ministry. He was pursuing the money and got his entire family.